Grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you here this day from our triune God. Amen. So I think that when it comes to righteousness, I would tend to think that the Pharisees were a rather tough bunch to beat. In fact, Jesus himself knew that these Jewish leaders were passionate about the law of God. They were supportive of the synagogues and the schools. They were attentive to the purity rules and regulations of the time. And above all, they were focused on the resurrection with a powerful hunger for heavenly rewards. In fact, you might even go so far as to say that the Pharisees were the spiritual superstars of their day, exerting, I think, an enormous amount of peer pressure on the people who were around them. And yet, here in this morning's gospel reading, Jesus says this, "I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." So what are we supposed to make about this? Well, I think the first thing that we want to do is to admit something to ourselves, and that is that peer pressure is a powerful force in our lives. And it, at times it can both help us, but it can also at times hurt us. David Green, who is the host of National Public Radio's Morning Edition, explained in a recent broadcast that peer pressure can actually help us by inspiring us to do the right thing. For example, sitting next to, say, a good student in class and observing their study habits might actually, in the end, rub off on you. Or watching your neighbor go out and install solar panels on their roof might motivate you to go and do the same thing. But peer pressure, as we know, at times can also hurt us. And this happens when we are exposed to our very best peers, and we find ourselves then becoming discouraged about ourselves. Now, being able to measure up might actually cause us to want to quit. A 104-year-old woman was once asked by a news reporter, what do you think is the best thing about having turned the age of 104? And her reply was quite simply, no peer pressure. Todd Rogers, who is a professor of public policy at Harvard Kennedy School of Government, has studied the type of peer pressure that comes from people who tend to be a little better than us, as well as the kind of peer pressure that comes from people who are way better than us. In other words, the Pharisees. And Rogers says that when you are compared to people who are doing a little better than you, that you can then be oftentimes motivated. In other words, someone who is conserving energy might inspire you to use less energy. Or someone who is taking the time to go out and vote might actually motivate you as well to go out and vote. But peer pressure turns negative when you start comparing yourself with people who are unattainably better than you are. For example, if you decide that you want to go and join a gym in order to get into shape, and then you are surrounded in that gym by well-trained muscular athletes who look like they should be on the cover of Vogue magazine, you're probably not going to be very inspired to stick it out. In fact, you are more than likely to feel rather intimidated and probably will eventually drop out of the gym altogether. Well, you see, this was exactly the kind of effect that the Pharisees were having on the people around them back at that time. Remember what the Apostle Paul himself said about his own accomplishments at being a Pharisee. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more, he wrote in his letter to the Philippians. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. In other words, Paul here was a top-notch Pharisee. So you might understand why then his peers would have felt rather inferior and comparing themselves to him and maybe even want to quit. But Jesus, you see, was not interested in making people give up on themselves. And that is especially true in that final verse that we have in our text or lesson for today, which is, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees, you see, might have been better than anyone else in terms of being able to follow the religious rules and regulations of their time, but Jesus had here a new approach to righteousness that was not based upon this kind of rigorous law keeping. Instead, he wanted his followers to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of the world. In other words, to fulfill the law in a whole new way. So as followers of Jesus, we don't need to feel peer pressure from the Pharisees. And that is because our righteousness comes about, you see, in a whole new way, one that avoids those faulty assumptions about who are the top performers. In fact, even the Apostle Paul, that spiritual superstar who had tremendous confidence in himself, ultimately came to that same realization that his achievements as being a Pharisee were really losses when they were stacked up next to Christ. So then, what do righteous people look like? Well, according to Jesus, they look like salt. Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. Now, back in the ancient world, salt was a rather valuable commodity used for sacrifice, for purification, for seasoning, and for preservation. And therefore, the followers of Jesus are to play all of these same roles in the world and are to remain salty by staying true to their mission and by avoiding contamination. If salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? Asks Jesus. And the answer, of course, is it can't. Contaminated salt is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and then trampled underfoot. Nevertheless, note here that Jesus did not say, try to be the salt of the earth. Or it might be good for you to go and pick up a few classes at Salt and Light University in order to learn how to be salt. Or go to the rabbi and elders and have them lay hands on you to beseech God to grant you saltiness. And he didn't say, take 30 minutes every morning to meditate and try to get in touch with your inner saltiness. Rather, his comment was very straightforward here. You are the salt of the earth. This is who you are, so don't forget it. His statement, you see, was not a command for us, but rather it was a description about us. I tend to think that we too often are afraid that we are not salty enough people. And so then we get stressed out about this, and we essentially make it all then about us, all about ourselves, instead of about Jesus. Whatever Jesus actually had in mind when he said these words, we know that salt is an element that has no real value in itself. It is not about making salt better salt. Salt is salt. The value of salt is the way it is applied to other things. Is it any wonder then why Jesus called us salt? That's because, you see, we exist not for ourselves, but for others. So what do righteous people look like? Well, again, Jesus tells us they look like light. Lighthouses, spotlights, flashlights, lamps, candles in the dark. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And once again, being light doesn't involve sitting through some college classes on light, or by reading books on the subject of light, or even by meditating on light. Jesus' statement is a simple definition of who we are, not a command. And so just like salt, light doesn't exist for its own benefit, but it exists for the benefit of everything in which it illuminates. Light provides warmth and energy for the world around it. Light encourages life and growth to take place. And we do the very same thing when we act as the light of the world and then reflect the light of Christ to others. So righteousness as Christians depend on doing whatever we can in order to be light to each other and light to the world around us. We're to be open and we're to be honest instead of hiding ourselves in the darkness. We're to offer other people warmth and encouragement instead of being cold and discouraging. We're to be energy sources for others, so that together we can advance then the mission of Christ out in the world. Let your light shine before others, says Jesus, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Therefore, you see, our challenge is to shine as a Christian community, so that others around us can actually see what a life of love and what a life of faithfulness actually looks like. In a world of self-righteousness, we can be an example of Christ-righteousness, of a right relationship with God and with our neighbors. Let's face it, there is so much darkness all around us these days, so much loneliness and so much isolation out there. Righteous Christians can truly be a light to the world. We can become beacons of peace and reconciliation in a world that is so often one that's filled with animosity and with conflict. And when we perform such good works for others, people then will see those works, Jesus tells us. And then they will give glory to your Father in heaven. So the Pharisees may have actually been the spiritual superstars of their day. But their righteousness, you see, was rooted in rules and regulations. Jesus respected their passion for the law, but he also criticized them for their failure to put that passion then into action. And that's why Jesus encouraged his followers to do what the Pharisees teach you, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what it is that they teach. The truth that we so often miss, I think, here is that the Pharisees were no doubt pretty good people. They were not necessarily cruel or heartless or unpleasant type of folks. But when all was said and done, they were trying to be good for all of the wrong reasons. And Jesus couldn't lift up the Pharisees as being the norm then for righteousness. The Pharisees of Jesus' day could not be the role models for righteousness because, you see, they neglected the justice, mercy, and faith that were a part of a right relationship with God and with others. And nor can we, in our own 21st century world, and with our own 21st century Pharisees, do that. Those who are alive and well in our churches and out in our world today, they can't be our role models. People who make others feel unworthy through an excessive focus on religious rules and regulations. We have just one role model for us for righteousness, and that is Jesus, the one who invites us to be salt and to be light. He offers us the very best kind of peer pressure that there is. Peer pressure which inspires us then to rise to the challenge of advancing his mission out in the world. As salt, we can talk with openness and with honesty about who we are as Christians. And as light, we can bring warmth and we can bring energy to the world around us. The difference between the Pharisees' righteousness and the righteousness of Jesus is that one can only work for the former, while the righteousness of the latter, you see, is a free gift. So there's no peer pressure here. We never need to worry about whether we are righteous enough. We do not need to worry about this and need to worry about the Pharisees out there. However, we are righteous enough for Jesus and then some. And that's because our righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus. And that righteousness is such that even a Pharisee, I think, would be envious. Amen.